Welcome to the Fastest 5 Minutes, presented by Kroll and Mooring. We bring you a bi-weekly summary of significant government contracts, legal and regulatory developments that no government contracts lawyer or executive should be without. This is Peter Ayer, but my usual co-host David Robbins is on travel today, so I'm joined by two special co-hosts, my colleagues Chris Hale and Liz Bueller. We're going to talk about two developments. Chris is going to talk about commercial items, and Liz is going to talk about the 809 report. So Chris, we'll start with you.
Thank you, Peter. The Department of Defense published a final rule on commercial item procurement, implementing requirements from the National Defense Authorization Acts of 2013, 2016, and 2018. For several years, in fact, Congress has been pushing DOD substantially through National Defense Authorization Acts to make procurement less burdensome and more predictable for commercial suppliers. As for the rule itself, it is a reasonable attempt at the changes Congress specifically required, but it's fair to say that it doesn't fully implement the spirit of what Congress favors. There's certainly more that DOD could have done. There's a full analysis of the rule on our website, but among the positives within it are DFAR's provisions that encourage contracting officers to rely on prior commercial item determinations from other DOD components, and in fact create procedural hurdles for contracting officers who want to treat those products as non-commercial. There's also instruction to buy commercial information technology products and services, with exceptions generally limited to those cases where there are no suitable commercial products. And one of the most interesting is a part of the rule allowing contracting officers to treat goods and services from non-traditional defense contractors as commercial, even if those would not normally meet the definition of a commercial item. The rule even extends that opportunity to business segments under traditional defense contractors if the business segment on its own is a non-traditional defense contractor. As for some of the negatives, some of those are in what the rule does, and some are really in what the rule fails to do. For example, while contracting officers should now rely on those prior commercial item determinations from DOD components, that isn't extended to commercial item determinations already made by other agencies, like GSA. It's really a missed opportunity to make the process more efficient. The rule also creates a new obligation on contractors to provide information supporting price reasonableness even before DOD makes its determination that the product is commercial. That mixes up two separate decisions and puts a burden on the supplier that might not even be necessary if DOD has its own information or market research to support price reasonableness. DOD just missed some real opportunities to improve efficiency and opportunity for commercial products and services.
Great. Thank you, Chris. Obviously, that's something that we're going to continue watching, and we expect a lot of interest and attention on that issue from our clients. So now we're going to turn to Liz Bueller to talk about the Section 809 report. This is something we've been waiting for a long time. It is many hundreds of pages, and Liz is going to give us a couple of highlights. Liz?
Thanks, Peter. In the fiscal year 2016 National Defense Authorization Act, Congress created the Section 809 panel to review and streamline the Department of Defense acquisition regulations to improve the efficiency and effectiveness of the defense acquisition process and maintain defense technology advantage. On January 31st, the panel released the first volume of what will be a 3-volume report. The panel's second and third volumes will be released in June 2018 and January 2019, respectively. The Volume 1 report covers the panel's recommendations on a number of topics such as commercial buying, contract compliance and audit, defense business systems, acquisition of information technology services, services contracting, and small business contracting. For example, with respect to commercial buying, the panel recommends minimizing the government unique terms applicable to commercial buying and revising definitions related to commercial buying to simplify their application and eliminate inconsistency. Regarding the revisions to definitions, the panel more specifically recommends bifurcating the definition of commercial items into commercial products and commercial services, and implementing a single definition of subcontractor to replace the current 27 separate and sometimes overlapping definitions. As another example, for audit and compliance, the panel's recommendations are grouped into 3 parts. The first, enhancing the Defense Contract Audit Agency's focus on the contracting officer and acquisition team. The second, using accepted commercial standards and practices with objective and standardized compliance criteria. And the third, providing more effective and efficient contract compliance oversight. The panel also has made recommendations to repeal many obsolete provisions of law that are envisioned by the panel to be included in the fiscal year 2019 NDAA. For those interested in and impacted by DoD acquisition reform, the full Volume 1 report is definitely worth a read.
Great. Thank you, Liz. Obviously, we'll be standing by for Volumes 2 and 3, and I'll close out with two other notes. Number one, for those of you who follow False Claims Act developments, our colleagues have recently posted an article online with the top 10 False Claims Act developments of 2017. That's available on our website, certainly a good read. The second is a note about the Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs, or OFCCP. That office mailed out 1,000 corporate scheduling letters on February 1st of 2018, giving contractors some notice that they are on a scheduling list for a compliance review this fiscal year. Some additional detail on our website, but for those of you that might be interested, please feel free to visit our website or reach out to your usual contacts at Kroll. Lots of news going on in the government contracts world, but that's all for this edition. We'll see you again in 2 weeks. In the meantime, if you need anything, Chris can be reached at 202-624-2898. Liz can be reached at 202-624-2821. And I can be reached at 202-624-2807. Thanks for joining.
The Fastest 5 Minutes podcast is brought to you by Kroll & Mooring LLP. Subscribe on iTunes, and if you enjoy our show, please leave us a review. You can find more information at kroll.com/govconpodcast.